Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another TV season review. This is going to be for the second season of the Apple TV Plus show, Silo. I almost forgot the name of it. It's called Silo for the second season. Let's go to our rating system and then we'll get into the spoiler-free section. And we do have some spoilers to talk about later, but don't worry about that right now. We've got strong must-see, must-see, don't skip, possible skip, skip. And hard skip. I'm gonna go still with a strong must see and a 10 out of 10, which is literally the highest rating that we can give anything on our scale. I wouldn't quite say this is like sometimes I sit here and I go, okay, strong must see or strong must play, easy 10 out of 10, and it just kind of it's just easy. And this probably is that, I guess. But still, thoroughly enjoyed this show. I loved the second season a lot. I thought they went for some very interesting things. And because this is kind of paired with for me with Shrinking season two, which I really enjoyed as well. Of course, they were both kind of running at the same time. For both seasons, so talking specifically Silo season one, I remember when I saw the trailer for Silo season one, I thought, okay, the concept looks really good. It's Apple TV Plus, all that kind of stuff. And I remember enjoying the first season, and I remember it getting quite highly praised. And I remember thinking, kind of, I wonder if I sort of missed, because I was very excited for the first season. I watched it and I really enjoyed it. I'd probably give that season like a don't skip, but quite a high rating of like a don't skip rating. But something about this second season just really elevated things to me. And I don't know if it was kind of because it's now that I've watched this second season, it feels like a good, not payoff in terms of conclusion because we still have two more seasons to go. But it felt like it rewarded what I had watched in season one. So it's a very good sequel or second season. And again, just took all the work that season one did, pushed it forward. You kind of have like a good slow burn story here, although I wouldn't call any of this slow. It's that slow kind of tension building, which they did really well. That there was little nuggets of bits of, the way characters find out information in this show, and the way that people betray people in this show, and the way that, like, the class system with the silo is shown off. And then you've got, so with the second season, you've got Juliet in basically her own plot the entire season, and then you've got the rest of the main silo. And then you've got kind of all these other bits and pieces. There's like some flashbacks, there's some other scenes as well. And as a package of a second season, I think it all, by the time you obviously get to the credits of the end of season two, I think it really doesn't tie itself up in a bow because we still have season three, but ties itself up in a very nice package of a season of TV. I thought this was very compelling. I loved the second season. And even though, like, when the early season stuff was building up, and of course we didn't know how well the show was going to do in terms of pushing those things forward and kind of rewarding us with, when things build and build and build and build and build, and then characters are forced to do something, which happens quite a lot in the second season, how good of a payoff that would be. And I really felt rewarded for, again, not being. It wasn't about being rewarded for my patience because I didn't feel like I had to have much patience because even the, like, again, the little nuggets of information that characters get, the way that things build up, I thought was done in a very compelling way anyway. So I wasn't kind of sitting there waiting and thinking like, oh, I hope this is going to build up something big. And I would still say even in the first couple of episodes, there's still some fairly decently sized things that are happening, and the way, something I also really like about the second season, the way you get kind of teased with information, and how that pays off later, and the little nuggets of information and stuff, I thought was Again, done very, very well. I want to touch upon the structure and pacing and the sort of flow of this second season, because you do, especially the second half of the season, you do have to cut between quite a few different things. Now, there are some quite short scenes stitched in the middle of some like big tense stuff. I think it handled it about as well as it could, and I didn't really feel sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Whiplash? I didn't sort of feel whiplashed of like, oh God, you quickly ended that and you cut back to that and then you cut back to that. I sort of, it had a nice flow to it, because sometimes it can feel a little bit jarring to kind of just jump from one thing to another. So I thought they did that really, really well. Because you're dealing with mainly two plot lines, and then there's like a kind of third one that sort of sits in there. But the third plot line that sits in there nicely kind of gives you again more. It's all about information, this show, in a certain way. The way that that sort of stitched together with both the plot lines, and it just kept weaving things in, I thought was really, really well done. So, again, I liked season one. But I felt like season two just really pushed things forward very nicely. And it kind of gets to that point with a show like this, where things are gonna get too tension filled and you have to get to a certain conclusion. But again, I didn't feel like I was sort of impatiently waiting for that, because I could feel those early things, excuse me, kind of building up, and I really, really enjoyed the build up anyway, so I wasn't necessarily impatient for the season to kind of get to those things. So yeah, very, very, very good season. Some other stuff I want to touch on is, as I try and talk about this without, I can talk about this without spoiling it, kind of, the way the sort of political tension builds in this second season, I thought was maybe the best thing that it did. It was the thing I was kind of most compelled by, because even though you've still got kind of these character, each of these characters have got a motivation and a thing that they want to get done, whether it's to save themselves, save someone else, or screw someone over, or all those kind of, again, that those aren't really the political parts. It's more the way that those things clash with other characters, and of course how, I think it's called Mayor Holland, the Bernard character, played by Tim Robbins. He had like a fascinating arc this season. I mean, I'll get into some individual character stuff later on, but the way the tension just built and built and built politically, as well as with all the other bits I've already mentioned, just became more and more compelling. The episodes just started flying by, because some of these episodes are like, they are 15 minutes to about an hour each, so they have a bit of a length to them, but I feel like they all use their time really, really well. I think the last two episodes are about an hour each, but yeah, the way you have kind of, because structurally for the actual silo itself, you've got a lot of tension there anyway, because you've basically got this group of people, right? There's basically a column, obviously that's kind of the silo part, and then the stairs that twirl round. So like a corkscrew? No, corkscrew is the word I'm looking for. Like a corkscrew in the middle, which people use to go obviously between the levels, and then there's different political kind of classes with each level and all that kind of stuff, and then people are handing messages off to each other and all this kind of thing. At a certain point in the season, they started putting barriers in for certain plot points. I felt like that was really compelling, of like, who is and isn't allowed past, and who sort of like gets something done for someone and they get given a pass through, and all those kind of things. But then the way the sort of rebellion tension builds in, or the rebellious sort of tension builds in, of like these people, these the citizens of this silo just get more and more worked up throughout the season, I thought was excellently done. And again, it's that kind of, again, not simple storytelling mechanic, but the storytelling mechanic of like, someone finds out some information, someone passes it along to somebody else, and then that kicks off like a whole thing. And there's like multiple bits of the, not too many, not like an overwhelming amount, but there's like multiple bits of those that go on throughout the season. I thought that was really, really well done. I want to talk as well about Juliet's storyline. So for because I am going to be going into sort of season one spoilers because that's already happened. So of course we know at the end of season one that Juliet gets out of the silo, and in the beginning of season two, basically she has sort of the first episode of the season is just her, and it's this kind of bottle episode, but not yeah, sort of bottle episode. Probably one of the better ones that I've seen. And it's kind of her finding this other silo. I won't tell you what's in the silo or who's in it or if there's anybody in it or what. I won't tell you anything about that. I'm just telling you the sort of basics of what Juliet's up to. And she ends up in this other silo. She's got to see if it's functional, if there's anybody in there, what sort of state it's even in because it's a different silo. I thought the way that they balanced, again, literally telling her story in a different silo. And then the rest of the group's stories and the way they cut back and forth. I thought they did that pretty much perfectly. I thought it was actually very smart as well for the entire first episode to just be settling her in, because that got quite a lot of work done in terms of, okay, you spend episode one getting her settled in, and you sort of get all that done in one go. But then because we don't know what's in that silo, it's just new information, new information, new information, new information. And even when I was watching that first episode, I wasn't really thinking like, oh, I wonder what's going on. I mean, I was kind of thinking a little bit of like, okay, I wonder at the moment what's going on in the other silo. But because Juliet's kind of solo survival episode, if you want to call it that, was so good in terms of we don't know what she's going to find. She doesn't know what she's going to find. And there was also a little, I won't spoil it here, but there was a little flashback kind of tied into that, which made that even more interesting. I thought that was like really, really well done in this season. I won't tell you how long she spends in there or what she does or whatever, but that was very, very good. That's Rebecca Ferguson who plays Juliet as well. So very, very good stuff. And then one of the other, obviously the other main part is with Maya Holland, Bernard, and wow, I can't remember how brutal he was as a sort of leader in season one. Because to be honest, I can't remember that much of season one apart from when they showed the recap at the start of the season. But he, wow, he becomes quite the piece of work in the second season. And it kind of got to a point where it's like, okay, you know when you're watching a villain, you're like, okay, at some point they probably need to die. I'm not going to tell you if he does or doesn't die, but he's one of them villains that's so much in the way that you think, okay, if someone here can kill him, obviously that would really be beneficial to them. But you also, on the other hand, don't want him to die because, again, Tim Robbins, who's playing him, is doing such a great job of being such a great villain. And he's being really compelling, even though what he's doing is really nasty and greedy and really, really corporate focused and really sort of power hungry. As much as it is villainous and like bad to watch him doing what he's doing because he's doing bad things, it's also just a really compelling villainous character and a really compelling portrayal. That was probably some of the, like, the best acting in the season, although there was some other really, really good stuff, but again, for him, when he gets new information, how he reacts to that, how sort of aggressive he's going to be towards certain stuff, who he's going to choose to screw over and then not screw over, and then there's points in the season where he gives power to other people and then takes it away from other people, and that creates more kind of clashes. So I loved the political kind of the power struggles in this season. And then because you already have, like I said, you already have an intense situation of no one can really leave here, at least not very easily. They could one or two of them can try to leave, but it's not going to be very easy, and that's not really a sort of answer either. So you're all kind of cooped up together in this silo in the first place, and then obviously because things are happening, you just get this built up and built up and built up and built up tension throughout the season. And again, not a tie the bow payoff because we have a third and fourth season, I believe. Because I think David said on Geek Town at one point that Apple renewed this up to season four, which is the last season. given where we end season two with, which again I won't get into here, I can see this probably having two more seasons. Yeah, if they're about 10 episodes each, because you've got to deal with all of the fallout from everything from season two, and then probably some other stuff, maybe some other silos come into play. We don't really know what's afoot, and then this will probably get a very satisfying wrap up, which will be very good. So yeah, for anyone who hasn't watched season one, I guess I've kind of spoiled some things there for you, but absolutely recommend the second season. And I, even though it's very likely that at the top of my list for 2025, because we have to start thinking about that already, I guess, even though The Last of Us season two will probably be at number one for me, unless that somehow is worse than I think it's going to be, or something is better than what I think that's going to be. It's unlikely, but it is possible. This is, granted, this is the first TV season review of 2025, but we're off to a very, very good start. We're off to a very, very good start. And I am going to count it for 2025 because it finished this year. So, yeah, and look, my expectations were like, oh yeah, that Silo show, I'd sort of forgotten about it a little bit, and kind of, oh yeah, it was pretty good, but it didn't kind of, the first season just didn't really quite grab me. But then when you start that first episode off with Juliet, and she's dealing with it just gets off on a really, really great foot from the start. And there's so much intrigue in terms of, okay, what is actually going on in this world, and how many silos are there, and what is actually in the outside world, which you do see some of, but further out from that, what's kind of still out there. And and then you've got all the in silo tension as well, and all that kind of stuff. Another thing I really love about this season is I like how, when there's like a mystery thing in terms of, oh, we're trapped down here and we don't really know why. I love the way with something like this that they explain, like, oh, a character found like a secret document, and the mysterious kind of entity, can do these things. I really, really like that idea a lot. And especially when Maya Holland, or Bernard Holland, doesn't know everything, and he finds certain documents and stuff that kind of, when he says like certain things as well, it really just drives that plot point forward of like, are they all being watched by? Is this some sort of experiment, like a twisted social experiment or something, or who put them down here and why, and all that kind of stuff? And even with the information we already have, which, granted, still isn't much, I really, really like the way that they handled that mystery in this season as well, of like, why are we down here? Who put us down here? What's outside? Why are we not supposed to go outside, kind of thing. I thought that was really, really quite great. I think that's probably it for the spoiler-free section. I can't really talk too much about all of the ongoings because there is a lot of spoilery stuff. But I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. We're probably gonna have to wait until we're gonna have to wait until 2027 for the. I can't remember when. Hang on one sec. So, 17th of January. What year was season one? It doesn't say. Oh wait, if I click on details for an episode, that should tell me. Details. June 2023. So it took just over 18 months, in it. So like, no, sorry, just under 18 months, because this started in like November or something like that, didn't it? So June 2023 to about November 2024, so maybe middle of next year we might get another season. Depends where things are at with the writing and whatever. Of course, there is no writer's strike anymore, which is very, very good. Yeah, I just hope we don't have to wait till like January 2027, because that feels like it's so far away. Anyway, yeah, Silo on Apple TV Plus. Go and get Apple TV Plus anyway, because there's a bunch of really great shows. I reviewed a bunch of them. There's things like Ted Lasso, obviously, it was one of the big ones. Severance has just come back for season two. I did review season one of that. I'll be reviewing the second season once that's finished. There is Shrinking, as I mentioned earlier. Just to kind of clear up my opinion on Shrinking, because I don't know if the moment has passed for me to review the second season. I did finish it like a month ago, or whatever it was, it feels like about a month ago. So I don't know if that boat has passed, or I do have an upcoming podcast, TV focused, that I might just talk about it in there instead. But that again was one where Shrinking season one, I thought, okay, this is a pretty good show. I like what they're doing here. And then the second season just pushed the envelope even more, I felt. And anyway, both very good shows. Go over to Apple TV Plus and check all these shows out. Because as much as people do praise them that have seen them, it still feels like there's a lot of like general sort of public consensus is like, how many people are paying attention to Apple TV Plus? Because it feels like the people that are really enjoying it. And it's almost like this hidden secret of like, hey, there's this streaming service called Apple. Wait a minute, Apple do TV? Because when you say Apple to somebody, apart from the fruit, obviously, they probably think of iPhones, not, award-winning television. Anyway, and you don't need an Apple TV box or whatever, you can get it on most things. So go and sub to Apple TV Plus. This is not an advertisement for them, but you are going to need to do that if you want to watch this show that I've just recommended and talked about anyway. So yeah. Anyway, for those of you that have seen the second season, what did you think of it? Of course, I'll ask that before we get into the spoiler section, do my full outro here before we talk about spoilers. What did you think of Silo season two? Did you think it was an improvement? Did you somehow maybe think it was worse than season one? I'd be intrigued by that. Where do you think season three might go? What do you think of the sort of splitting of the plots and all that sort of thing? Matthew at Entertainment Talk the Dog. Is that right? Yeah, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter, social media, eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, May Night podcasts. Classic Reviews is nearly finished for season 7. Month of Positive Creators is still going. There's still some episodes for that to come out. Gaming Talk should be back tomorrow. That'll be Monday the 20th. I think we're doing it tomorrow. It's definitely coming back this week. I need to double check if it's actually on Monday. That'll be back then. I've got a TV talk podcast I've got queued up. I might, no, will I do that tomorrow? I might do that. I probably should be able to do that this week. TV talk podcast. I know exactly what I want to talk about, so can do all that. Film reviews. I didn't manage to do any this weekend, unfortunately. Those will be coming soon. Still, someone's queued up for that. The United Cast is out there as well, so. Excuse me, check out everything that we do on there. If you want to support us, of course, listen to more stuff on the site, podcast platforms, or the categories list. Word on my social media, if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Every podcast review options, look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is on hiatus, I think until February, but geektown.co.uk is still posting TV and film news. That's David runs that over there. We're on Twitch at eTalkUK and YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. Alright, we're stepping into the spoiler section. If you cannot join me for that, thank you for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Alright, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen the 2nd season of Silo on Apple TV Plus, go and watch it and then come back. If you want to watch it, maybe you hated season 1, you don't want to come in for season 2. Whatever the case may be, I'm going to spoil Silo season 2. So, where do we start? Should we just go character by character? That might be the better way to do things. So yeah, Juliet gets her storyline this season. I tell you something, now when I mention this franchise, it means you've done something well. I didn't feel this at first, but as we got towards like episodes maybe 8, 9 and 10, and you have, his name's not written here, but I think it's Jack, the guy that she meets. I think it's Jake or Jack, I'm going to go with Jack, apologies if that's not correct. I've got the cast and crew list on my app here, but he's not in the list for some reason, even though he does play a fairly major part in the season. Anyway, I got this kind of vibe in the end of, like, this survival kind of Last of Us thing, and I kept looking at Jack and Juliet, and it's like, this is almost like an older Ellie, so around about, like, 30-something. I'm gonna guess Juliet's supposed to be about 35. I don't know how old Rebecca Ferguson is. Like, an older Ellie has found this Silo, and even though Jack isn't the same character as Bill, because Jack is a lot more, like, Bill in The Last of Us already has this kind of, like, he's, what's the right word to use? He's really, really, really nervous about letting people in and taking care of himself, all that kind of stuff. Jack does that same thing, like the sort of locking yourself away. And granted, Jack was given instructions of, like, don't let anybody in, all that kind of stuff. Whereas Bill chose to live like that in The Last of Us. Anyway, he almost has that kind of thing, but this is a much, much less confident version. Because Bill in Last of Us is a very, very, very confident character. He's a very, again, nervous is probably not the right word to use, because you can't be confident and nervous at the same time. I guess you can. Skeptical. Bill is very, 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 very skeptical of the world, but he's very, very, very confident of himself. Whereas this character, Jack, is, because they do kind of look similar as well, don't they? Is very, very, very skeptical of things, but he also has a bit, arguably, more of a reason to. Like, Bill's more got sort of paranoia going on, whereas Jack was, like, told, okay, you must not let anybody in. And obviously he's had to sit on that. He's had to sit on that for a very, very long time. And then I was almost going to say Ellie. And then Juliet comes along and, like, you know, wants to get in and all that kind of stuff and find out what's going on. Yeah, really, really did kind of remind me of that as well. Now, granted, Juliet's and Jack's relationship is not similar at all to how Ellie and Bill interact, obviously, in the game, but it just reminded me of that a lot. And specifically, kind of, because this Silo is in such a state, as opposed to our main one, which, okay, it's got its problems, but it's at least run relatively civilized. You've got this Silo here, which is like, I mean, you see in the first episode the way that Juliet just scraps to give a bridge and how difficult all that kind of is. That sort of survival stuff reminded me of Last of Us as well. So that was very, very good. If you make something that in a positive way makes me think of The Last of Us, I think you've done something correct. So, well done. I don't know if that was your intention, but well done. I really enjoyed that. Just that whole plot line, and then they meet those other characters, and we get a little bit of a flashback. And I think you get introduced to them, it's not the end of episode 9, is it? It's near the end of episode 9, I think. or the end of episode 8, I think. And I was thinking, like, okay, is it a bit too late in the season to introduce, like, a new... Well, not quite a new group, are they? It's not like there's 10 of them, but this, like, small group of people and how they've been running things, and they're watching Juliet the whole time and all this kind of stuff. I thought that was really, really well done. And then the whole tie-in to their dad and Jack, turns out, didn't kill them. It was Jack's dad. I liked seeing that, by the way, because going back to Jack's dad at the start of the season, when we had the breakout silo flashback, I thought that was really, really well done as well, and how it kind of just, that was when the silo failed. That's basically what Maya Holland is trying to stop in a way, but he's very much going about it the wrong way, and he's being very, very, you know, corporate power, greedy, any of those sorts of words. He's just really pushing that envelope too much, isn't he? And he's probably afraid of the same thing happening, which was technically on its way to happening, because we did, of course, have the rebellion in the season anyway. But no, I really, really enjoyed Juliet's storyline. I enjoyed the kind of, what's it called? The back and forth between that, the structure, the pacing, the flow, all that kind of thing. Again, there was mystery there. Who is Jack? What's this silo? All that kind of stuff. And then this little group comes in at the end to kind of, again, not tie a bow on that, but put a satisfying bit of a conclusion to that, to that storyline. I do think we'll see them again. Probably, obviously, Juliet leaves that silo by the end of the season. I think her and Maya Holland are both fine, by the way. I don't know how they're going to be, but I think they probably are. I can't imagine that you kill both of them off at the same time. So yeah, very, very good stuff with Juliet. I could sit here and talk for ages about Maya Holland, but again, very compelling acting from Tim Robbins. He might be maybe an early contender for me for, like, performer of the year. A lot of other people did a very good job in this season as well, including Rebecca Ferguson, but there's something almost more compelling when someone plays a really nasty villain really well, and you want that villain to die, like I said, but you also don't, because then you'll miss the character's presence and the quality of acting. It's actually kind of a frustrating dilemma. but no, he was very, very good in the season, and yeah, his whole thing with Lucas as well, Avi Nash, who Avi Nash I've met in real life, a very, very nice person, was on The Walking Dead. Yeah, again, just in terms of the way he used people and the back and forth with him and Robert Sims. Wow, I could sit here for ages and talk about how all that went, but really, really enjoyed it. Again, just all the tension, all the back and forth, and then, what's his name again? Lucas being given the badge, and he's flashing the badge around, and he gets too sort of power hungry at one point, and then pulls himself back, because obviously he was pushed to the bottom and then pushed to the top, really, wasn't he? Because he was given the work in the mines or whatever. So that was really, really great. But yeah, I just really wondered what he was going to do at the end, because he's sitting in that room with that pistol, and I was like, okay, is he going to wait for everyone to barge in that room and then... Well, he wouldn't need to wait for them to do that for him to shoot himself, because I couldn't quite tell, and it was interesting that I couldn't quite tell sort of what he had on his mind, what he wanted to do, because he gave this very defeatist kind of, Lucas walks up to him, whispers something to him. I don't think we know what that information is yet, do we? It's something to do with, like, you can't save the silo, but we're not exactly sure why at the moment. Of course, Robert was talking to that AI thing at the end in one of the vaults. Again, you have to wonder if the AI thing, is that tied into who they are, the mysterious they, or is that something they left there? Are these they people even still there anymore? Because obviously there's all the worry about what Bernard says with, like, yeah, basically they can just let off this gas at any point and just kill all of us, but they haven't done it yet. Why they haven't they done it? And who is even they? Who are they? And all this kind of stuff. So I think at one point in the conversation with Juliet, I think he says... Because they're kind of revealing to each other in that point of, like, yeah, I know this. Oh, you know that. Oh, you know this and whatever else. I thought that was great as well. I think he, what was it that he said? I know the who, but I don't know the why. I know who they are, but I don't know why they want to do what they want to do. Anyway, just more kind of interesting mystery that was pushed there, which I thought was, again, done very, very well. I don't know where they both would have ended, because they both ended up on the floor, didn't they? And there was like the fire in that room, and he seemed particularly panicked. I was like, no, you can't be trapped in there because you'll burn alive. And then he got trapped in there as well. That's what made me almost certain that, because I thought for a moment, like, oh, she's going to push him in and he's going to burn to death. And then they both ended up in there. And it's almost like, okay, because they both ended up in there, that makes me think it's less likely that they both die as opposed to just one pushes the other one in there or something. Which I could see Bernard totally doing. In fact, I'm a little bit surprised that, because again, power, control, and greed is something that he wants, because he could hear the group going, Juliet lives, because she's on the monitor thing or whatever, that he didn't just, well, he could have shot her, couldn't he? He could have, I don't know why he didn't maybe do it, maybe he's got his reasons. Again, maybe because the information he was told by Nash, of like, okay, you can't kind of save this solo, therefore it's not worth taking it out on Juliet, because you're all gonna die. But then why are you all gonna die? What's going on with that? Obviously that's gonna be a big plot point, I guess, for, I don't know if that's a season 3 plot point or an end game plot point. Depends what mystery we find out next season, and then what mystery is left for the final season. So, we'll see. Yeah, so again, very, very compelling stuff with Bernard. There's Robert as well. Kind of covered his storyline a little bit there as well, but it was interesting when he does confront Lucas. And Lucas is like, hey, if you want to know what's going on and what I told Bernard, killing me ain't going to do nothing, and you got to go and find out for yourself. And I'm glad he didn't just pettily sort of shoot, I keep forgetting his name, Lucas. I'm glad he didn't just kind of shoot him and just walk off in some sort of revenge thing or something. Obviously, because he's pissed off about being Bernard's, was it shadow or second-hand man? Obviously, he's very, very pissed off about that. Again, political power struggles, very interesting stuff. Political tensions being done very well. Yeah, so that was great. But I'm looking forward to seeing, what is this AI thing that he found? Because I found it interesting as well with Lucas that, because the episode, I think it was episode 9 ends, and it asks him like what his name is and all this kind of stuff, and yeah, gets let in and then ends up back in the silo. I guess he just, so I think what he did, he found out whatever it was that he found out, and then just decided, I'm going to go back to my family. So, because he did have this very defeatist kind of, yeah, I found out what's going on. But it's almost this stance of like, hey, we're all going to die, so we should all just spend time with our family. But hey, Robert, if you want to go and find out what's going on, you know, you knock yourself out kind of thing. Just trying to think, because what was it? Lucas gave that key, and I swear on that key it said 18, and I looked on the pillar of the level they were on in the silo, it said 19. I thought, I wonder if that's some sort of key, excuse me, to, like, blow something up. Maybe it was a key for something else, I guess, so. Yeah, I'll find out more about that next time. It's cool to talk about Martha. I do like Martha as a character a lot. I really, really like the double twist there of, she gets told, but gets literally put in a corner and told by Bernard, like, hey, if you don't get me the information simply by turning your camera on, like, you don't actually have to tell me anything, you just have conversations with people in that room and I can hear everything. If you don't do that, I think he said, like, I'm not going to kill your wife, but I'm going to just make the rest of her life completely miserable. And she basically has to agree to it. But Because, like, when they get locked up in the prison, and then her wife is like, or ex-wife, or whatever she is, was like, nah, I want nothing to do with you. And then Martha's just got this completely defeated thing about her. I thought what she was going to maybe do is, when she met with Bernard in his office, is like, okay, the bombs aren't going to go off because the plan's all mucked up. Because all the rebels, if you want to call them that, they're all in prison and stuff. I gave you what you wanted, so you've let me go free. I thought she was just gonna try and maybe kill him or something as like a last gasp kind of thing. And then there was kind of a double twist where it was like she's counting down from five, you get Bernard's reaction, and then you get the double twist of like, oh, by the way, I can teach some hand signals. I thought that was a really, really good way to do that, because she had very, very little to work with, didn't she? Very little to go on. So I thought that was really, really good. With Ian Glen's character, I'm not sure if you were supposed to directly believe that. Okay, he's blown him. He sacrificed himself. He's blown himself up for the good of the silo. Again, sometimes you've got to go by the rule of no body, no death. I don't know how to feel about that in this situation. But yeah, that was an interesting one to kind of go with. It's the hand signals for me that really kind of was great in that plot line. That was really, really good. And no, I didn't see that coming at all. And I was paying no attention to the character's sort of hands and stuff, because I usually look for things like facial acting and body acting, and obviously looking at a character's face when they're speaking. Unless they're holding something specific, like a gun or whatever, I don't usually look at how. Because it's you, especially in like the mechanical area that they're in, it's usually sort of characters given props to muck about with in a scene. So very, very, very good. Really enjoyed that a lot. The only thing that was missing from that is when Martha thinks that she's mucked up, or that the plan is mucked up, and Bernard is giving her this reaction of like, oh, you thought something was going to happen, and he started laughing. I really wanted to see the look on his face when the bomb actually did go off. Like, I kind of wanted to see this sort of, because I think he got up off the sofa and something happened, didn't it? And then the explosion went off, if I remember correctly. What would have made that even better is if he stayed on the sofa, you maybe cut back to Ian Glen's doctor character, and he puts those lines together, explodes, and then you just see his face shift. That would have been really, really great. That would have been the only thing that would have made that better. But yeah, you still got a defeated version of him in the end. Who else do we have? Talked about Lucas already. I really enjoyed his arc. Again, Avi Nash, who's a very nice guy. I love how his arc of end of season one, he's basically pushed down to the bottom of the barrel, and then given this opportunity of doing this research, he figures out all these puzzles, and you initially get this thing from him of like, I'm gonna desperately attempt to impress this mayor because he's given me a chance, and if I muck it up, I'm not gonna be dead necessarily, but I'm gonna be put back in imprisonment and be made to work in the mines, so I'm gonna just put all my energy into this and try and really impress him. And then he eventually just like gets so settled into that he does end up getting a little bit power hungry, because he ends up doing this thing where it's like, because he now has access to better areas, he's like, no, I need to, no, I'm the shadow, I need to get into this place and that place, and he starts literally waving his badge around, doesn't he, like a policeman or something. And that gets him past certain security gates and all this kind of stuff. And it was when he went into that room with that family, he's like, look, if you don't give me the information, I'm gonna come down here and do all this and that. And then he realizes he stepped over a line and just peels himself back slightly. I thought that was a very, very good arc for him. The one thing I was kind of surprised about, I can't remember throughout the season if any major characters died. I don't think they did. Apart from Bernard's, that woman who was his kind of assistant. And he poisoned her, and that was really, really ugly, really, really nasty. I really hated this thing that he did. Again, hated but compelling. Hated this thing that he did of like, hey, I'm gonna put this VR headset on you and show you some nature before you die. You know when you just want to rugby tackle a character to the ground and just beat him to death? Oh my god, that really just... You know when a villain just gets under your skin and you're like, okay, you've trapped this character, they cannot get out of this situation. Oh man, that was, yeah, that was nasty. That was nasty. No one died in the finale, did they? Which I found interesting. Several characters were like near the edges, and there was lots. It's one of them shows, isn't it? That, again, because of the actual physical structure of things, if you piss someone off and you're on one of the bridges, they can just throw you overboard. Because I kept like you had Lucas and you had Bernard, and you had all these other characters getting really intense with each other near the edges of the bridges, people getting pushed near the edges as well by like different guards. I was like, oh no, don't push them over, don't push them over. I'm glad no one did die in the, unless again the doctor died, Ian Glenn's character, though we're not completely sure. Yeah, no one else, no one else. Because it felt like a bit of a sacrificial finale where somebody was going to sacrifice themselves. So, good stuff. All right, there's a bunch of other characters here, but that's the main bits to talk about. We do have a somewhat post-credit scene. So, Juliet and Bernard end up on the floor. You got the fire that's going off. The camera sort of cuts away from that, and then you cut to, I don't know where it's supposed to be in America. I don't think it's Washington, isn't it? Because there was the White House in the background. These two characters meet up. You got a functioning society. I don't know if this is supposed to take place before, during, or after the silo. I honestly don't know. And we had no real indication of when things do. It could be before, because the little sweet thing that that woman had, that ends up in the silo later, doesn't it? But yeah, the timelines aren't matching up in my head. But again, we'll just wait for season three to come around. But so Iran got involved in something. There was a dirty bomb, or rumor of a dirty bomb, or something. And then she says something in the conversation, and he just is like, "No, I can't tell you anything more." He's just got to leave. And then he gives her a gift, and it's the same sweet thing that you see later on, because on the conveyor belt of one of the workstations, that pops up on there, doesn't it? I do not know what to make of that, but very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, because I know it wasn't post-credits, but it felt like a sort of post-credits scene. But because I was looking at her and I'm like, I kind of recognize this character's face. The guy, I don't think I've ever seen him before. Well, at least not in this show. Is she supposed to be like the mother of someone who was in the silo or something like that? Because there's a way that that sweet thing ends up on the conveyor. I don't think it's a different one, because otherwise, why would they show that to us? Also, the fact that actually this must take place before, right? Because okay, if she's got that, and then there was the talk of the dirty bomb, which I assume hasn't gone off yet, because I'm assuming this dirty bomb makes the Fallout-esque situation, because you can compare this to what happens in Fallout. And then they end up in the silos, which would be how that sweet thing ends up on the conveyor belt. So if it definitely does take place before, which I guess it would have to, because that's the thing, we don't know, like, America's a very, very, very big place. I can't remember if they said where in America the silo is, if it's in Washington, but because I'm wondering if it's even possible to have another place in America where the silo isn't ongoing. Cause again, America's a very big country, but because this could just be taking place beforehand, and the dirty bomb hasn't happened yet, which obviously creates the silos because the whole it's basically a very big underground bunker, isn't it, for people to live in. A bit like the vaults in Fallout, just a different structure. So yeah, if that is definitely a prequel thing, which is more of what I'm leaning to, again, talk of dirty bomb, functioning society, bomb's not gone off yet, Iran's involved for some reason, and then there's a sweet thing which would later on end up in the conveyor belt. I would definitely like to see more of what's going on here. That would be very, very intriguing, and it could lead us to, I mean, eventually I assume by the series finale we'll figure out who they are and what they want and what their plan is. You know, the mysterious overlords, if you want to call them that. But yeah, we're gonna have to wait until season three now. So it's interesting going from like, oh, season one ended, that was pretty good. You give me season two whenever you want, to like, wow, you ended season two on a really, really intriguing note. And I mean, you did with season one, but this is much more intriguing than what happened at the end of season one. Just where's this all gonna go? And this is based on books as well, so it's not like it's undetermined where we're gonna go. So yeah, we shall see. But again, feedback and stuff. What do you think is going on with this flashback? Do you think it's actually a flashback? Do you think it's a different location? Or because we don't really know, do we? But given that they talked about a dirty bomb, and a dirty bomb would lead to a Fallout-esque situation, and that hasn't happened yet. We'll see. I also wonder, because I thought when we saw an overhead shot of the White House that we were gonna like see the president talking about something. We shall see, but we're gonna have to wait a while now. Anyway, yeah, let me know your thoughts on what you thought of these sort of post-credit scenes and your thoughts on the season. But that's it from me. Thank you all very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.